Lighthouse Productions presents The Day the Earth Stood Still. It was a pleasant spring day, an ideal day for a walk in the park, a day to push a baby buggy and be glad you were alive. There had been at least 20 such sparkling days that spring, and perhaps a billion or more of them since the earth began, and nothing had ever happened to spoil them but a few small fires, or a slight head cold in the evening, or a rain squall. This spring day, in the middle of a marvelous 20th century, was different. This was the most difficult day that had happened to mankind since the first Christmas. The thing was noticed in Hong Kong first on the British radar. The American radar screen quickly confirmed the fact that there was nothing wrong with the British radar and that there was something very gravely wrong 40 miles out in space, far above the Earth. Then it was here. Incredibly, it was here, burning down through the sky over Washington, D.C., hovering over the mall, descending. Not a sound, stillness, not a move from the cordon of tanks and armed cars and troops in full battle dress. Not a sound or gesture from the monstrous domed disc setting on the grass.
The ship, designed for travel outside the Earth's atmosphere, landed in Washington today at 3:47 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We still do not know where it came from. The ship is now resting exactly where it landed 2 hours ago. So far, there is no sign of life from inside the ship. Behind the cordon of troops, tanks, and artillery is a huge crowd of curiosity seekers. Every eye, every weapon is trained on the ship. The atmosphere is one of terrific tension rather than of fear. It's been that way for just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something's happening. The spaceship is opening. Someone is coming out.
Keep calm, everybody. Don't get excited. Keep calm. Quiet.
A wedge is open in the smooth, unbroken metal skin of the spaceship. A ramp slithers out on the grass. Against an eerie glow of unearthly light from inside the spaceship stands the spaceman. He is a man, entirely like ourselves. He wears a close-fitting suit like a deep-sea diver's armor, but of alien material. A spherical helmet entirely concealed his head. He holds up his hand. He is going to speak.
We have come to visit you, in peace, and with goodwill. Receive me as a friend.
Here he come, man. Watch it. Keep that bar train on him.
He's going for something in his tunic, sir.
Quiet.
It's a ray gun or something. I'm gonna let him have it.
No, wait! You fool, he's down. Hold back the crowd. Everybody back. Your wound does not look too bad. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have gone for that ray gun.
It was not a weapon.
He understands us.
It was a gift to your president. With it, you might have studied life on other planets.
What's bothering the crowd, Lieutenant? Tell them to... Oh no.
A nightmare stands on the ramp leading out of the spaceship. A mechanical giant, monstrous, all metal and menace, with a visor on his helmet lifting slowly, revealing a dreadful light. And suddenly out of that incandescence and narrow ray. Rifles, tanks, artillery glow with that terrible incandescence and become vapor and a mush of steel. And in a deathly silence that follows, the robot strides down the ramp. The Avenger. From where?
Gort! He won't hurt you now.
Let's get you to a hospital.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
The doctor here tells me your wounds isn't serious.
It amazes them that it almost healed already.
I'm very glad.
It should serve as some sort of identification of our power.
My name is Harley, secretary to the president. I've been told you speak our language fluently. That's your name is Mr. Klaatu.
Just Klaatu.
The president has asked me to convey our deepest apologies for what has happened.
Sit down, Mr. Harley.
I'm sure I don't have to point out that your arrival was something of a surprise, Air. Had you been traveling long?
About 5 months. Your months.
You must have come a long way.
About 250 million of your miles.
Naturally, we were very curious to know where you come from.
From another planet. Let's just say we're neighbors.
It's rather difficult for us to think of another planet as a neighbor.
I'm afraid in the present situation, you'll have to learn to think that way.
The present situation?
I mean the reasons for my coming here.
Would you care to talk about it?
No, nor with you alone.
Perhaps you would rather discuss it personally with the president?
I want to meet with the representatives from all the nations on Earth.
I'm afraid that would be a little awkward.
Why?
In view of the tension and suspicion in our world today, such as a meeting would be impossible.
Mr. Harley, my mission concerns the existence of every last creature who lives on Earth. It must not be complicated by the childish jealousies, intrigues, suspicion of your planet.
Our problems are very complicated. You mustn't judge us too harshly.
I'm impatient with stupidity. My people have learned to live without it.
The president will, of course, do his best to bring about the meaning you desire. I know it will be quite useless. I wish it were otherwise.
Wait. Before you make any grave decisions, I think I should get out among your people and become familiar with the bias of these strange, unreasoning attitudes.
Our military people insist that you do not attempt to leave this hospital. The doors will be locked, and I assure you understand. I have a good day, Mr. Klaatu.
So the door will be locked. Will it now?
Klaatu escaped, nor could the embarrassing news of his disappearance long be suppressed. It was read about in the papers and described in exciting tones over the radio.